Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Welcome to another wonderful Lord's Day. It's always a pleasure to be here. To those online, welcome. This is Little Hill Church, 50 years of gospel witness. It's just so wonderful to worship in the presence of the saints for another day that the Lord has made. Now, the events of last week have made me to realize that there's no political party on this earth that can actually save humanity. With everyone clinging on to the words of the Chancellor to see what he was going to say in the autumn statement, we've realized that there's only one Savior of humanity, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. In him, our hope is certain, our hope is sure. And the Hebrew writer in chapter 6, he did allude to it when he said, "And when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of promise, that is us, the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, that's God's promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, those of us that have fled to him for refuge have a strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that he has set before us. And we know that that hope is a sure and steady anchor of the soul, and that hope is the Lord Jesus Christ." So how do we respond to this? I mean, David anticipated it, but we have it revealed to us in full glare in Scripture. So I'm going to read Psalm 103, verses 1 to 8. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 8. For those of you that like Bible trivia, Psalm 103, verses 1 to 2 are the middle verses of the Bible, if you think in the context of the KJV. But I'm going to read 103 from verses 1 to 8. And let's listen to the psalmist. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love." What a good God we serve. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for yet another wonderful day you've made, knowing that you, O Lord, are a God that is merciful and gracious, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping mercy for the thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. O Lord, we thank you that we can rely on you and trust in you, that this day that we have come to you with open hearts, bowing our hearts to you, O Lord, we know that the certainty of our hope is found in you. Help us, O Lord, that we will be filled with the knowledge of your will, that we will walk in a manner worthy of you, fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work. O Lord, we thank you for qualifying us for the inheritance with the saints in light, and we thank you that you, O Lord, have delivered us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of your beloved Son. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, and we thank you, O Lord, even as we increase in the knowledge of your word, even to the praise of your marvelous grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you're able to stand, we're going to recite our first hymn. It's "Bless the Lord, O My Soul." So if you're able to stand, our first hymn is "Bless the Lord, O My Soul." it's time for the notices now. To those that are online just joining us, again, welcome to Little Hill Church. Those that are just coming in, welcome to Little Hill Church. Again, it's always a pleasure to be in your midst. And it's just a joy that the Lord has been faithful to us, not because of anything we've done or not because we're special, but he's just a gracious God, and that's what he's about. So for the notices, for those that don't get them electronically, if you want to receive email updates, please do contact John and he'll add you on to the mailing list. In the interest of time, I don't want to go through every single item, but it's nice to know that we have a milestone of 1,000 items in our book repository, so that's amazing. And we're blessed in this country that we have lots of literature in English to help us to know and grow in the knowledge of God. I think it's amazing that we're so rich and encouraged to be blessed of literature in English, allowing us to just ever grow more in the confirmation with our Lord Jesus Christ. So the morning service will be taken by Dalton today. The theme is on godliness with contentment, and it's great gain, as we know. So let us be praying for Dalton, that he will come and preach with boldness, with clarity, and faithfulness to God's word. The evening service will be taken by Joshua. Joshua is currently at OB Evangelical Free Church preaching, so let's be praying for him as well. Monday, we have little ones at 1:30 here in church. The Women's Fellowship still takes place at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, and the theme is on honor and obey in relation to Ephesians 6. So do be praying for that event. The men's event is taking place this Tuesday. I'm looking forward to it. It's at 7 p.m. at Bella Italia. I have a plus one coming. He came with us last time when we had the Indian cuisine. Let us pray that even as those that attend, God will continue to give them open hearts, that the gospel message that will be preached by Phil Topham will soften their hearts and draw them to Christ. The elders' meeting will be at 8:30 on Wednesday. And warm space still holds on Thursday at 9:30 to 12:30. It's just a time to draw those in the community near for a warm cup of coffee, tea, hot chocolate, and just to share the love of Christ to those in our environs. So it promises to be a wonderful event. The fellowship groups at 7:45 p.m. still hold with John Fakir, and Josh's address remaining the same. The youth club takes place on Friday, 25th. It's very popular. Lots of children turn up. I always wonder where all these children are during the week, but it's amazing. And for one of the teenagers that did attend, it was nice to know that they remembered what was being taught. So I think it's fabulous that we are impacting on the youth, because they are going to be the church that will not fail, as our Lord Jesus Christ has promised us. So it's amazing. Now, the women's cake event, which is a special Christmas event, is coming up on Saturday, 7 p.m. Again, it promises to be a wonderful time. Just to mention that if you need any further information on that, do contact Sarah. She would like a little team after the event just to help play out in the kitchen and to reset the chairs for the Sunday service. And there's a special present that awaits those that do that, and it's cake, understandably. So no one can say no to cake, isn't it? It promises to be a fun time learning how to make a Santa cupcake, I'm told. So promises to be wonderful. The next service for next week will be taken by Paul in the morning and Fakir in the afternoon. And we have the International Carol Service taking place on the 4th of December. And let us continue to pray for the students that do turn up. Lots of them have questions. And there's nothing wrong with questions. Our God and our Savior loves when we have questions, because our faith is an assured faith. It's a faith that is grounded in certainty. So you come with your questions, which is why in Isaiah, God said, come, let us reason together. Though our sins be like scarlet, they'll be as white as wool. So it's important that we come with our questions, and we keep praying that these youths come with open hearts for the International Carol Service. And the Antolin lecture will be taken by Leslie Rowe, and that's coming up on the 6th of December. The title is From Bare Bones to Old Bones. Let's pray for that event as well, that the Word of God, as it touches the lives of those that listen to the lecture, are touched. So those are the notices we have for the week. It's a packed week. And let us now come to God in prayer, even as we trust in Him for our sustenance.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for yet another Sunday that you've made.
Each week, James has been telling us stories about kings, and there have been lots and lots of kings. And you know something? There's even more kings. There's one called King Jotham, and then there was King Ahaz, and then the King Hezekiah, and then King Manasseh, and King Amon, and then King Josiah. Lots and lots of more different kings today. We're going to think about this last one, Josiah, all right? Now, before we do that, I want to get something out of here, because you will each, they tipped out into my bag. I want to put this on the floor, because you will all need this later on. Now, Josiah, how old was he when he became king? He was 8. Now, is anybody here 8? Oh, come on then. Come on, have a seat, Your Majesty. You're going to be king. But before we give you your crown, you'll need to put on some royal clothes, all right? You'll need this in a few minutes. All right? Go on then. Oh, hang on, you've got not got your arm in here. There we are, put that on, right? Because you'll need that in a few minutes' time. Right? Your Majesty. 8 years old, and Josiah became king. Now, just think, if you were king, what would you do? I can guess. Instead of having dinner tonight, vegetables and potatoes, I bet you'd have an enormous plate of sweets. Is that right? Yes. And let me guess, you wouldn't go to bed at bedtime. You'd want to stay up to midnight. Is that right? Yeah. And what about all those people you don't like? Do you think you'd get your soldiers to come and take them away and put them in prison? He's thinking hard. Well, that's the sort of thing kings age 8 could do. But I'm going to tell you about what Josiah did. So you have a seat on there, Your Majesty. Josiah, when he became king, there was a problem. And the problem was with the temple. The temple was like an enormous church there in Jerusalem. And as people went into the temple, there was a great big box for them to put money in, because the temple needed a lot of repairs. The building was starting to fall down. And so when people came to the temple, they would put money in. Oh, you're all very generous, aren't you? They would put money into the box. And then Josiah, he told the head priest, high priest, he said, you need to take the money and you need to get the builders in and use the money in the box to pay the builders their wages, right? So, the high priest, he got the builders to come, and they started work on the temple. Now, if you've ever had builders in your house, they make a lot of mess and a lot of noise. Have you ever had builders? No? None of you had builders? Oh, dear. Well, the builders started knocking walls and building walls and so on. But one day, one of the builders who'd knocked one of the walls found something. He found something that had been hidden behind a wall. I wonder what he found. And when he did, he realized how important it was. This is what he found. And he gave it to the high priest, and the high priest took it to the king. Come on, your majesty. Now, what is this? A scroll. And they gave this scroll to the king to read. You read some out. It's upside down. Can you read it? Why not? Do you know what language it's in? It's in Hebrew. And if you came to read Hebrew, you know how you read from left to right? Well, they start on the right-hand side and read that way. And you know how they start at the front of the book? The front is page one and they go all the way to the back. Well, they start at the back of the book and go all the way to the front. So it's a bit complicated, right? But the king started to read it. And he realized it was God's word. And as he read it, the king, oh, he was really upset with what he was reading. Weren't you? And he was so upset, to show everyone how upset he was, you know what the king did? He took his clothes and he started to rip them. Go on, rip them. Pull. Go on. He started to rip his clothes. Ugh. So that everybody would realise how upset he was. Because when the king was reading this, he realised that God's people weren't keeping God's word. God's word had been hidden. It had been lost in the temple. And one of the things they weren't keeping was one of the festivals, one of the big celebrations called the Passover. Now, what was the Passover about? Oh, what was the Passover about? Do you know? It was a festival, and what was it about? In which country? In Egypt. And the angel passed over the houses that had what? Yes, the houses that had lamb's blood round the doorways and the windows, right? The angel of death passed over, and every year they were supposed to celebrate the Passover, and they hadn't been celebrating it. So guess what the king said they should do? Celebrate the Passover. Well, thank you, your majesty. You can go and sit down. The king realised how important it was to read God's word. And from our story today, we have to realise how important it is to read God's word. That is where he tells us what we should do. Now, we have a song about reading God's word. And this song, read your Bible, read your Bible, read it, oh, read your Bible, read your Bible, read it daily, read it daily. It's a lamp. It's a lamp and a light to my pathway. Now we sing it as a round. So, that group start off first, read your Bible, read your Bible. And when they've sung that, the middle block, Start at the beginning, read your Bible, and then when that block has sung it, it's your turn, right? And we'll sing it all through twice. So you start off. Majesty, do you want to take this and the money in there upstairs? You can keep your crown on for now, but I want it back up.
Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 21. So I want us to travel back to the first century where Paul, who was already aware that he might be leaving earth, had to write to his protege, Timothy. So I read from verse 3. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God to give life to all things and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge.
For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. So the next hymn will be from the supplement, and it's hymn number 3, The Lord is My Shepherd. So if we're able to stand, let us stand for the next hymn from the supplement, number 3, it is The Lord is My Shepherd.
Thank you very much. Now, Kenny didn't say, and he probably... Oh, let's move that up. There.
Right.
He probably didn't want to say, but do you know what, ladies, if you haven't already signed up, do sign up. Tulu is amazing cake decorator, cake maker, you call it whatever. She's very, very good. But don't say anything to Margaret, Ruth, Sarah, or Tulu, but I managed to see a little bit of something that Tulu's been doing. I managed to sneak a preview of something, and it's excellent. So ladies, sign up, come, it's gonna be great. But do you know, more than that, Elizabeth Flanagan is someone who Sarah and I know quite well. She's got an amazing testimony. I really mean, that's all I'll say, it's amazing. If you wanna know a bit more, have a word with one of the ladies, Ruth, Margaret, or Sarah. But don't miss it, really don't miss it. And us men, if we're able to help, I think there's a list, is there a list? But just let the ladies know, there's a list, men, if you're able to come, not for the cake, but for the washing up. There might be a bit of crumbs, hopefully, afterwards for us. But don't miss next week. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you're a great God. Lord, we come and we need your help. And we pray that you'll be with us now. We thank you, Lord, for all that you are and for all that you have done. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help us through this, what could be a difficult theme, Lord. Help me, Lord, very simply to portray the wonders of who you are, the greatness of our God, as we look at these wonderful words for Jesus' sake. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 to 21 that Kenny read. Do you know, Paul wrote this epistle. It's known as, it's a pastoral epistle. And for the benefit of those online, my name is Dalton King. I'm a member here at the church. And even for those not online, if you're a visitor, I'm Dalton and I'm a member here. So Paul wrote this epistle. It's a pastoral epistle that he had written. And here was Timothy. He was a very, very young man. And Paul, we say the aged, because he was getting older. And he saw what was going on in Ephesus, in the church there, wasn't very good. Lots of false teachings, false doctrines, right throughout. Chapter 1 talks about, Paul was concerned about the way they were going, about the doctrine in the church. If you're able to read through the whole of this, it's wonderful. Chapter 2, Paul's talked about public worship, the need, you know, for them when they come together, how there must be this sense of discernment, the sense of reverence. But of course, all these false teachers had come in. And when false teaching come into a church, it can really be divisive. People think sometimes, Sarah and I were at a wedding several months back, and at the reception, it was an African wedding, but at the reception, it was all about money and getting the money, and you can know this prosperity when we know and love the Lord Jesus. And it was a bit uncomfortable at times, and maybe not just with African weddings, maybe people talk about it today in different times. And we've got to be so, so careful that this great gospel that's been entrusted to our care, you know, it's not about materialism. It's not about prosperity. If you trust God, you'll then become rich. And so much of this was coming into the church here. False teaching. Read in chapter 4. Chapter 5, Paul was saying about church discipline, the importance of that. How we must conduct our ways, our conduct in a way that is pleasing to God. And here was young Timothy, so we say today, raw to it all. How am I going to cope? Well, you know, it's a big thing, he's young. So Paul said, I'm going to be with you. This is why I'm here, to help you through. And then we get to chapter 6, where we get to almost to the nitty-gritty right through. Paul then talks about godliness, the need for all of us to be more like the Lord Jesus. And that's what we want, day by day, to be more like the Lord. Let's make sure I press this in the right way. And so this morning, our text will be, as you look at that, we'll look at contentment, and our text is verse 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, where we've got these wonderful words, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I've mentioned already the reason why Paul had written it, almost like as a manual for the church. And, you know, we have guidance. We have the church constitution here at Little Hill. We've got ways how we should conduct ourselves. And that's right and proper. It would be chaos if we didn't have some sort of constitution or some sort of, we say, manual, we could say here. Because we want to do everything in order and in a way that pleases God. So Timothy's burden, his responsibility, was to the church here at Ephesus. And when he saw all that was going on, and I hope you all can, yes, you all can see it, there's nice and clear, that's great. And when he saw all that was going on, he wanted to, you know, take hold on, you know, let's sort out, let's do everything in a way that's pleasing God. So he then get young Timothy to the side, as already mentioned, to say, look, it's not all about money. It's not all about people doing their thing this way and people going this other way to please themselves. It's all about pleasing God. So this morning, what does it mean, this text in verse 6, as what we've just read, but where it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So simply, three things under that. Firstly, what is godliness? Let's look at it. What does it mean? We've only got a few minutes, so I'm only going to touch the surface. But I felt, you could see, I felt so challenged and inadequate looking at this, because godliness, I fall so short of it. And maybe we all do, don't we? We feel that. So what is it? Secondly, contentment. What is contentment? And then thirdly, what is the gain that's mentioned? All right, so that's what we're going to look at, those three those three things. So, what do we mean? Well, what is godliness? Well, and again, not trying to be clever, but the Greek word eusebia is a Greek word, godliness. What does it mean? It means devotion, piety, someone deeply devoted. So if we love God this morning, we're those who are devoted to God. We love him. He's precious to us. But the people here, they were used in this sense, and sometimes it could be used in other sense of eusebia, because the people thought, well, they're devoted to the things they're doing. They're devoted to worldly things. So we've got to be really careful, because for some of them here, Paul was saying to Timothy, you know, their devotion should be to the true God. This is the word eusebia, this devotion to the one true God, to the Lord Jesus, not to your own ways, not to false teaching. And it's saying for me and for you this morning, how are we doing? How is our eusebia? Is that devotion there to God? And it should be deep. And really, Paul was still going on, still about this godliness. It should be surely, ultimately, what is godliness? It should be, ultimately, God-likeness. So our lives, my life, and your life, surely, should be God-likeness. Not that we won't ever be like God, because we're sinful. We're tainted with sin, and the best we try, we fail God, don't we? You try one day and say to yourself, I'm going to be perfect this day. You just won't make it. Will we? Of course we won't. Why? Because we're sinful. You try saying it for an hour, I'm going to be perfect for an hour. You think we'll make it? Will we make it? Of course we wouldn't. Not even an hour. No, it's 5 minutes. 1 minute. Why? Because this body of sin is there. And no wonder Paul cried out, oh, wretched man that I am. You know, it's in us all. Dear me, sometimes we feel so low. We think, am I really thinking this? I'm in communion. I'm in church. And we get sometimes these horrible thoughts, don't we? And we think, Lord, please help me to be more like you. And that's what we want, surely. We don't want to be in a... See, we don't want to say, oh, well, you know, God's God, and, you know, I'll never be like that, therefore I'll carry on as I am. No, of course we don't want to be like... We want to strive as much as we can with God's energy to be more like him, don't we? Yes, every single day. As much as we feel the awfulness of this life sometimes and the way we are. And if Paul can say that, Romans 7:24, oh, wretched man that I am, boy, how much more? We say that, eh? Because we know it, we feel it. So, and I love, this is what I love, in 1 Timothy chapter 6. What's the answer there, Dalton? You're saying we should be more devoted. What should we do? I love verse 11. Look at verse 11. Isn't that lovely? But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Timothy, flee it. And instead, what must we do? And I love this. Pursue righteousness. Isn't that lovely? Every single day we think, Lord, you know, I feel wretched today. But you know what, Lord? Please, with your help, help me to pursue right things, holy things, things that pleases you. Lord, I know how wretched I feel at times. Lord, I know I let you down. But please, Lord, help me to pursue those things that pleases you. What a prayer. Isn't that lovely? Hey, to say to us every day, Lord, in your strength, this is what I want to pursue. And I'll put it now up on there. Because day by day, moment by moment, we need God's help. How are we doing? It's tough, isn't it? It really is tough. This is why, you know, I don't want anybody to go out this morning and say, oh dear, I'm not like that, therefore I'm not at all. We're all in it. We all feel it, don't we? You know, you don't think I'm not preaching down to anybody. Dalton, it's as much for me as everybody else. We need it to be more God-like, to be, as we hear, this word, Eusebio, this sense of devotion. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's important. Deep devotion to God, godly. We could say so much more about that. But then, you know, as it goes on, we have where it says, flee, pursue righteousness. But then I want you to notice, secondly, what is contentment? Sorry again, and I'm not trying to be clever, because it's important. A couple of Greek words there we've got to help us to understand real contentment. Again, the Greek term optikia, and some of you might say my pronunciation may not be correct, so forgive me. But if we look at that first word there that it's got there, whatever does that mean, that first word, that Greek word? Well, optikia means self-reliance or ability to be self-sufficient. And again, some of the Christians here, that again, you know, some of the Greeks, they were thinking, well, you know, actually, even with all the false teaching coming in, I'm okay as I am. You know, I'm self-reliant. I'm independent. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a sense where, you know, we've got God who's sovereign. We know that. Sovereign God. And we've got man's responsibility as well. And it would be wrong for us to say, oh, well, God is sovereign. Therefore, I won't bother to care for my family. I'll just sit at home and, you know, the money will come from the sky or wherever. And I won't do anything. Because God's sovereign. No, 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 that's not right. So God is sovereign. But we've got responsibility as well. And they both run in parallel. And they work together. And so day by day, yes, we look to the Lord. There's a sense where every single day we have to look to the Lord. Why do we look to the Lord? We depend on him. He's our dependence. That's the word we need. So it's good to have that sense of we work hard. We care for our families, husband, wife. We have to work hard. We've got children, got mortgage to pay. Some of us are a bit older now. That's not a major problem at the minute. But, you know, I remember when I first started, it was tough. The mortgage was the biggest bill. And once you take the mortgage out, got nothing left. And you got light, electricity and all that. It's tough. It's hard. So what we're saying, yes, we must work hard. We must strive to be as efficient as we can, looking after our families, caring for them, but equally we realize, you know, we're still dependent on this sovereign God who keeps us going day by day. And what a word, what a God. And because of that, because of our dependence upon God, it makes us what? Content. Because we're depending on him, not anybody else ultimately, but we're depending on our God. So Paul was really trying to get it to Timothy. You know, look, these things, we must look to the Lord day by day. But again, it goes on, doesn't it? Because we find about godliness, the second thing I want you to notice, on contentment, is this. That contentment, I've got my third. It mentions there, the next word in verse 10, archaeo, yeah? And if you look in verse 10 of chapter 6, we have this word. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some of you have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. The love of money. Do you know, we've got to be so careful. We need money. We're not saying we don't need it. But if we make money the be it and end all, and we think that's all that matters, it can ruin our lives. I'll never forget, and it was well over 15 years ago. I'll never ever forget this lady. She went to the post office, was it on a Friday or Saturday? She paid £1, she bought a lottery ticket, and it may not sound an awful lot these days compared to what they're winning now, but she won over £1 million. And you know, when she won this money and she came on the radio, suddenly her name, her family, everybody was hounding her. And she said, my life was ruined. She said, I wish I'd not gone into that shop and bought that money, because she felt her life was ruined. So be careful, people. You know, yes, we need money, but we must be careful how we use it. And ultimately, everything that we own, everything that we have, it belongs to God anyway. I keep saying to myself, 22 Homefield Avenue, one day Dalton will be gone. So will Sarah, so will the Lord. It will belong to somebody else. And again, we're not being dramatic, because it will pass away. Why are we living for things that will soon pass away? Why are we loving these things? And, you know, again, we have this warning. Keep your lives, verse 10. This is what I've got. Well, if you look back to, again, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And I've just put on there, keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content and be satisfied. You know, it's a hard thing sometimes, isn't it, to be satisfied. You know, we think, oh, we'll get more and maybe just a little bit more and so on. For the love of money, and it really is dangerous. Let's remember what we've said. Verse 11, what we've said when we were talking about godliness. Verse 11 again, pursue what? What must we pursue? Pursue what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. So when we get tempted, when we feel, do you know what? I can't cope anymore. I can't do. Pursue that which is right. Let's pursue that which will please the Lord. And all the things that we need, and it's going to come up now, all these necessary things that we need. The food, the clothing, all the content. Look at verse 7 and 8. Look at verse 7. Well, verse 6, always go back, don't they? But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. Let me just pause there. It occurred to me, you know, when the Queen died, lovely lady. Think I saw her at a distance many years ago when she came to Leicester. Some people in our church have been privileged, haven't you, Vicky? He saw it more than at a distance, and that's great. But you know, and I thought, all the houses, all the estates, all the places she's got. On that day, which was an amazing day, I saw this incredible coffin. And it went down the vault and so on. That was quite moving. But actually, all the houses, all the estates, all the money, and we're not having a go at the Queen, far from it. She couldn't take it with her, could she? She can't. None of us can take any of the things we have. And isn't that a stark reminder? Who are we living for? Should we not live for God? And I say again, verse 11, that's going to be my watchword, Dalton. Pursue righteousness. Don't live for the seen. Because these things, one day, will soon be gone. And our contentment comes only in knowing Jesus Christ. And it's just another verse I've got. Not another verse, something else I've just got on there. Spiritual contentment, where it begins with the Lord. How are we doing? How do you feel this morning? How have you felt this week? Have you felt contented in the Lord? Or have we just felt we still want that little bit more? And you know, you get that little bit more, and actually you think you're still not satisfied. Be careful. Some people are burning their time, hours, whatever hours they get, to get money, 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 and then, you know, you're almost destroying your body. You know, you're tired, you're weary. And I haven't forgotten what I've said, you know, there's a balance, the sovereignty of God and our responsibility. But I've also said our dependence upon Him, the sovereign God. Never forget that. So many other scriptures I could, you know, we could quote and mention. My God, or is it Philippians 4, is it 11? Someone tell me. Is it 4:11? My God shall supply all our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Where is it? Philippians 4? 4:19, thank you. And that's our God. He's able. And did you notice it says all our what? Needs. Not all our
wants.
Exactly. There's loads of things we want. Oh, yeah, we could. Long list. But it's what we need. And that's what God gives. And it's real, it's practical, it's in the Word. And we've just got to believe it, you know. And I said, we've just got to believe it. And it's hard sometimes. But He's caring for you and for me. Boy, we could say so much more about that, but, you know, there we are. I've been blessed. There's this quote, I think, what have I done with it? Did I put it there? Where I've been challenged by, there's a man called A.W. Tozer. Brilliant. The Pursuit of God, I think the title, In Pursuit of God, I think it is. And to be honest, any book of Tozer you get, grab hold of it and read it. Great. Absolutely wonderful man of God. And that God will make me and make you more contented as we serve Him. Well, let's just then, as we're drawing towards a close, what's the second point? What is great gain? What is it? This is interesting. Have a look at this. And I've already said a bit about this already, but a wealthy farmer died. And someone asked his son, how much did your old man leave? What does it say? Everything. Everything. I've made the point already, so I won't go over about you can't take things with you. Everything. So why aren't we living more for God? In a sense, why am I not living more for God? I need to. Because Dalton, you need to remind yourself. You know, it's all going to be left behind. You know, whether who goes first, love you or me, or we'll both go together. Well, you know, and our children, well, unless they go, well, it's left for them. But please, let's remember that. That really, how much did he leave your old man? Everything was the answer. And let's remind ourselves again. Oops, let's go back. Ooh, too many. Go back. Let's remind ourselves of this wonderful word in verse 7. Look at verse 7, where it says, again, still what we're looking at. Because we forget it. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. For we brought nothing, nothing into the world, and we cannot take out of the world. Yeah? For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. Look at that godly man, Job. He lost everything, didn't he? Yeah, Job chapter 1. His wife, his family, everything. And what did Job do? His wife said what? Curse God and die. But Job, what did Job say? Can anybody tell me what Job said? What did Job say? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be His name. It's incredible, because actually, would we feel like saying blessed? Happy? I don't know. Would I, if my family, my wife, my children, would I really? Would I? But there was this man, because he wanted to give all the glory to God. Everything. Why? Because he brought nothing into this world. And we think of that parable of the rich, of the farmer. What did he say? He thought, wow, I've got all these goods. Yeah, already. Oh boy, aren't I good? I'm really good. So he thought, well, I've got all this, all I've got to do is sit back and relax now. I can enjoy myself. Do you feel like that? Perhaps we get a bit older, you know, we're perhaps finding things that, you know, we sit back and relax. And actually, it's dangerous to sit back and relax, can be sometimes, very dangerous. Or to look to God. And that farmer, well, he died that night. And what's going to happen to all the things he was hoping to have? Rot. Just rot away. And sadly, even in this world, people are living for things that's rotting away. We say straight, blunt, rotting away. Why are we doing it? Oh, to realize our God and the gain that we can know when we know and love him. Boy, it's tough, it's hard. And Paul sort of again encouraging young Timothy. Verse 17, we have, it says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty. I put in there in brackets, haughty. We don't perhaps talk like that today. Arrogant or superior, you know. We don't want to be like that. Nor to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches. But on God. Can't say enough about our God. He is the one that's going to drive us on. And sometimes we get worried, don't we? We worry about things we don't know about even, don't we? We think, oh dear, what's going to happen? I'm going to worry. Or to just rest upon God more. We've heard some really bad news this week of a friend. Can't say too much, but, you know, it's been tough with this diagnosis that we've heard. And we're just praying for this family that they will know the Lord being very near to them at this time. This young mom is unwell. And, you know, got a 12-year-old daughter. It's hard. She's diagnosed with something very serious. And, you know, how are they going to cope? It's a big shock. They're known by some of us here in the church. I know Vicky and Margaret knows them, Sarah and I. We know of the family. It's hard. Pretty tough. What do you say? What is the gain when I'm going through this? Day by day, we have to look to God. And then we have godliness with contentment is great gain again, as we find here in verse 6. But I am finishing. So what can we say as we're drawing towards a close? Heaven, that's our gain. Amen. That, you know, despite everything else, praise the Lord, with heaven, isn't it? We're in spite of all that's going on, we know that's what we've got to keep marching. Because we're looking at heaven in sight. And if we didn't have that, we'd be most miserable. We'd be like the world. What have we got to look forward to? Nothing. That's why, if you're not a Christian this morning, what is really stopping you from giving your life to Jesus? Is there someone here who's not a Christian? How long are you going to carry on living without God? Can I challenge you? There is no lasting blessing outside of Christ. You need to know him. You need to love him. Oh, that you'd call on him this morning and be saved. And for those of us who know and love him, to think we've got heaven and what a day it will be. What do we say about that? No death in heaven. Praise God. Some of us have known the loss of loved ones. Some of us are still going through it. It's hard. It's tough. Really is hard. And, pretty tough. When you're the loss of loved one. But what a day will be there in heaven. No death. No sin in heaven. Praise God. This body. Remember what I was saying? Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. Why? Because this body, our thoughts, horrible sometimes. But what a day will be when our thoughts will be full of righteousness. And until that day, all we've got to keep doing is keep pursuing, haven't we? After righteousness, in wanting to please God. And it's pretty tough in this life. It really is tough. But we've got God who says, I will be with you. I'll help you through. I'd written down something here which I find really incredible. And this kept me going. What John Calvin said. still talking about godliness and thinking about gain. But John Calvin said, godliness separates us from the pollutions of the world, and by true holiness unites us to God. I love that. Can I read that again? Godliness separates us from the pollutions of the world. And we want to be separated, so polluted. And by true holiness unites us to God. John Calvin. And then I love this of dear Jim Elliot. Here was this man brutally murdered. Oh dear, if you've never read that book, Through Gates of Splendor, incredible. But Jim Elliot went to, as an American missionary with four other men, how he was brutally killed. And this is what Jim Elliot says. And it's a familiar saying which we all know. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Oh boy. Amen, indeed. And this is why we're looking forward to heaven. This is why, feel a bit emotional, because one day all this pain, it will all be gone. We'll be praising God forever. Wonderful, wonderful. And as we finish, where's my marker? I've even lost all markers. Click it onto the next one for me. Because forever with the Lord, we say praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these wonderful words that remind us of your love for us, even when we don't deserve it. But Lord, we thank you for the gain that we can know when we know and love Jesus. So Lord, be with us this morning. Help us, Lord, however we feel, to suddenly realize godliness with contentment is great gain. And we're looking forward to heaven. What a day it will be. Until that day, keep us marching on to Zion, that beautiful city of our God. Amen. That's our final hymn. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in us. Help us to see only you in all that we do. Help us, Lord, to pursue righteousness. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.